From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
To this week's edition of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. During this past week, a number of items that are of interest to EAS-level postal employees took place. First, the Postal Service announced an impending reduction in force that would impact non-collective bargaining agreement personnel working at postal headquarters and area and district offices. Second, NAPS began pay consultations with the Postal Service. Third, the Postal Regulatory Commission began its engagement with postal stakeholders through a technical conference regarding the Postal Service's plan to adjust its performance standards. With me today is National Association of Postal Supervisors National President Brian Wagner. Welcome back to NAPS Chat. Brian, you haven't been here for a couple of months.
Well, yeah, I think you quarantined me, and I don't need to be quarantined, but I'm glad to be back, Bob. Thanks.
Well, I understand you were at an interesting luncheon today. Can you share what the menu was and what was the purpose of the lunch?
Well, my lunch today was a turkey Reuben sandwich with some chips and some tea, in along with great company. And all honesty, I was very honored to be able to be invited to lunch with our Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, and members of the Postal Board of Governors, along with Dan Hines of UPMA. They wanted to have a general meet and greet, lunch, and talk with NAPS and UPMA about, you know, EAS employees and how we're a part of the team. And it was a very, I kid you not, very productive, interesting discussion that we had.
So can you share with us what you talked about?
In all honesty, yeah, I can. First of all, we went around the Dan Hines and myself. Dan explained what UPMA is about, and then I went and shared with the Board of Governors what NAPS, our organization of 27,000 plus members, you know, 5% retirees, the other 95% EAS active from supervisors, managers, and postmasters, and explained the NAPS organization and a little bit of background about myself. What they wanted to hear from NAPS was our viewpoint basically on the 10-year plan. Also, just kind of other things about how we can move the post office forward on successes. And we did talk about the 10-year plan. Basically, our talking points are what we shared during our 2021 virtual LTS, the Medicare integration, the address, fixing the pre-funding issues, you know, the new infrastructure on packages, being able to build more business revenue type of services. And, you know, we did discuss in a sense about concerns about ours, you know, the delivery standard changes and things like that. We know that in the past, the post office had made some changes. And I told them, I said, the key here was if you're going to give the customers expectations, you need to have the infrastructure to meet those expectations. And we brought up the concerns about the National Performance Assessment. Again, you have to have goals. And I brought up that in the past, NAPS has told the post office that we felt the NPA goals have been unrealistic. That is nothing new in our messaging. And they wanted to hear from us because I told the Board of Governors, or I explained, and to the Postmaster General, our members are dedicated. We bleed blue. We will do whatever we need to do to serve the customer. Just give us the resources, communicate to us, make sure the messaging and why we're doing things, and that's very important. And give us goals that are realistic so that they can achieve it. Because when our members hear NPA, that ties into pay for performance right now. So if they see goals that they can't achieve, they're going to basically be disengaged. We need to engage them with goals that are realistic. And they wanted to hear that. I told them, don't ask the question if you don't want to hear the answer. And they said, no, we want to hear from you. We want to know how things can be better, how we can move forward, what we can do to be make the post office successful, but also our organizations.
Did the Board of Governors give you a sense how they can affect the changes that you were recommending to them?
Well, what I brought up was that they, as the Board of Governors, you know, they're the ones who are running the organization in the best interest of the post office. So we need to make sure that any goal setting they do are realistic. Because I told them, I said, when our members look at these goals and trying to figure out how it ties into their pay, it's very complicated. Those are some things we need to keep the goals simple, keep them realistic, and people have to understand how these goals tie into their pay if, since we're in pay consultations, if that's going to be part of it. You gotta remember, NPA, National Performance Assessment, it's goals. The post office can have all the goals they want, and I told them that. How it ties to pay is part of our pay consultation. So with that, we're just trying to work through those, but they were very receptive to what we had to say.
How many members of the Board of Governors were present at? Were they physically present?
They were physically present. I have to count around. I mean, I sat next to the chairman, Bloom. You know, we had, you caught me off guard here, Bob. I mean, counting around the room, but all the Board of Governors were there, except for the three nominees. Yeah, clarified. Okay. Sorry about that.
So let me ask you this question, That is, you do know that there are three nominees pending before the Senate right now. They were favorably reported 2 weeks ago by the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee to the Senate floor. They could be confirmed by the Senate at any time now. How do you think a full complement of Board of Governors will affect the decision-making process at the Board of Governors for this, for the issues that you talked about today, and for other issues about governance of the Postal Service?
Bob, by having a full board, I think that just adds more value and more efficiency to the process of governing the post office. I kind of tie it back to us working in a post office, station or branch, or even a plant. When you don't have a full complement, it is challenging to get everything done, right? You're running short, staffed. When you have a full Board of Governors, I think you're going to have a diversity of ideas come through, and that's really going to be excellent for the post office, I think. They have more minds, more ideas, more backgrounds, more experience. That's going to be able to build on the success of the post office.
Because the skill set of the three pending nominees are somewhat different than the current members of the Board of Governors. I mean, you have Ron Stroman, who is the immediate past Deputy Postmaster General. You have Anton Hajar, who is a former legal counsel to the American Postal Workers Union. And you have Amber McReynolds, who was the CEO, Chief Executive Officer, at the Vote at Home Institute. So all different skill sets, quite different than the current Board of Governors.
Right. And with that, again, have that diversity of thought is going to be instrumental on the success of the post office. Again, different ideas, different backgrounds, different viewpoints on how the post office should be governed. But I will tell you that this meeting is the first I think NAPS has ever been to with the Postmaster General and the Board of Governors that are present. And they have committed to, even though my term is coming up, that in the future to continue to meet with the Management Association leadership in the future. This isn't a one and done. They were very interested in what we had to say, and they really believe in the involvement of NAPS and UPMA in the success of the post office. I really was, I'm going to say, pumped after I left. It was very positive. They listened. We talked the majority of the time. They asked us questions, and I really feel it was very productive. And I'm very excited about what I'm seeing, that NAPS is being brought in even stronger as part of the leadership team.
Yeah, because historically, you know, when we talk about leadership team, historically, the point of access of NAPS has been through the Labor Relations Department of the Postal Service. Do you think that this is creating a new avenue for engagement with Postal Headquarters or the Board of Governors?
I believe it is. I really commend the post office for reaching out. We actually heard from the Chief Human Resource Officer who contacted us about meeting, and I thought that was an excellent idea. And in all honesty, it was a great move by the post office to bring NAPS in more in-depth, be honest with you, with the Board of Governors, with the Postmaster General, one-on-one, socially distanced, of course. But it was a very productive meeting, and I see positive things coming from that, from what we were able to give from our perspective of NAPS for EAS. I think that was very important for them to hear, and they really were very receptive to what we had to say.
I don't know that you spoke about this issue at the luncheon today, but one of the issues that is on the front burner for EAS-level employees is the reduction in force that has been announced earlier this week. Can you share with us, A, if it was discussed at the luncheon, or if not, what you can share with the members about the implementation of this reduction in force?
We did not discuss the reduction in force or restructuring of the post office coming up, but NAPS was briefed earlier this week, and we did send out a board memo on that with some timelines about the process, the reduction in force. Now, the hiring freeze has been lifted. The process of the post office is going to what they call run the RIF. I'll call it numbers. They're going to find out how many people are actually impacted. That's coming up effective May 8th. They'll run the RIF and calculations, find out what jobs are impacted. People have been receiving RIF notifications. And then from there, there's three postings that they're going to be doing for RIF impacted and, limited area of competition. So those who are impacted have an opportunity to land a position. Now, we have been messaging this out in the past and worked with the post office. With the hiring freeze that's been in place, and the post office is offering now a second round of a VERA, voluntary early retirement. And, of course, we do know there's quite a few high percentage of EAS who are already eligible to retire. If during this RIF process somebody wants to retire or take the voluntary early retirement, there will be landing spots for individuals. Now, there are three phases, basically, or three postings of this RIF. One and two deal with impacts and those who are in the impacted, not impacted, but still in a limited area of competition. And then the final posting are all final impacts. But in the past, the post office has worked with NAPS. If somebody is still out there trying to find a job, we've really worked up to the 11th hour to find a person a job who wants one. Now, if somebody gets offered and doesn't want the position and they elect to be RIFed, that's something that's their personal decision. But really working with the post office, anyone who wants a position and minimally qualified, we will work to get them that position.
Does that position necessarily have to be in the same geographic area where the employee may have formerly worked or may reside?
Well, with that, depending on the post office is going to try to keep people within commuting distance. You know, if somebody wants to take a job somewhere else, if it's in the competitive area, you know, as for that, if it's farther than that, that would be something on their own to do. But I don't see the post office doing directed reassignments outside the local commuting distance.
Another question that I think a lot of folks are probably looking at, particularly those who are approaching retirement age, is the potential for a buyout. Is there any discussion of buyout on the horizon?
You know, there is no discussion of a buyout or of an incentive to leave. You know, the idea is, if somebody chooses to leave on, you know, their personal decisions, then they decide to leave. But the post office has not come to NAPS or even put out that there is any incentive. So if somebody's looking for that golden parachute, let's just say, it's not a golden parachute. It's not out there.
Thanks, Brian. Now let's pivot a little bit to another issue that is of concern to NAPS members, and that is you began pay talks this week, the consultative process. Can you share some information about that process? I know that a lot of the parameters or the specifics are confidential at this moment. Maybe you could talk about the reason for confidentiality first, and secondly, about the process itself.
Well, the reason for the confidentiality, people say, well, why don't you tell us? Well, there's a lot of dialogue that goes back and forth that NAPS may want for our membership and what can be done. It's that give and take, but also the point is we don't want to say something that can't be delivered on and make promises and people say, well, I heard this. Well, it didn't happen. Well, those things, through the consultative process, we look for a pay package that's going to be fair and equitable to all. So that's what we're trying to do at the start. Now, pay talks did start actual meeting this week. The post office gave us a pay proposal in April 22nd. We had some dialogue back and forth on some ideas on concept of pay and just general things. And if you look at the fact-finding that we did last FY 16 to 19 and read our briefs, our really position is not telling anything out of school is that we've always believed our members should have a set pay raise. That has always been, you know, something they've earned regular pay increases. how that ties into what the post office has as pay for performance, those are the things we're trying to work through. The concern is PFP is very complicated. The NPA system, and how do you figure out somebody where they're at with their pay? Those have been some challenges, especially with how the goal setting has been. Again, we've said the goals have been very, some unrealistic. But with that, the process is now, we'll continue to meet with the post office. Our goal is to meet it at least once a week or every other week. We have 90 days to do our consultation. And technically, by law, Title 39, the post office will give NAPS a final pay proposal approximately the end of July. And then once that comes to us, the NAPS has to decide, usually the executive board, is this a fair pay package? And if that's the case, we accept it. If it's not, we have the option under Title 39 to go to fact-finding like we did before. But then that process moves forward like in the past. The pay talks today we're doing now have nothing to do with the FY16-19 pay talks or the lawsuit we have pending that's under appeal. This is a whole new round of pay consultation. And again, we're going to do our due diligence to make sure that we get fair and equitable pay for our members and work with the post office for that.
Now, you said that the previous pay package, 2019 mm-hmm. package, is separate than what was being discussed right now. But I'm going to ask you this question. Do you feel that the pending lawsuit, which is in litigation right now before the U.S. Court of Appeals, does that have any influence on the dynamics of pay talks this time around?
Well, my thought is this. We've shown to the post office, or showed the post office during fact-finding, here's the facts on Title 39 that we want a pay package that is, one, our pay is comparable to the private sector on the same jobs, that it's going to attract and retain qualified EAS, and that we have a fair and equitable differential. The post office has seen that, so as we discuss now, they do know that is the law that they're supposed to adhere to. So I believe that we've put together a good strategy and a fair and reasonable pay issues, initiatives that meet those requirements of the law for the post office to give us what they call fair and full consideration on. That shouldn't impact what we've already have in place. Those FY16 to 19 is over. We're under appeal for what we felt the post office didn't adhere to the law. We expect them to adhere to the law and follow the Title 39. And very confident that we can get to that point. I always want to be confident that I want to go in positive, that we can get a fair and reasonable pay package and not have to go to fact finding.
But the impact of the past fact finding, as going to fact finding and getting on the record, an independent panel agreeing with us, maybe that influences postal discussions this time around.
Well, they know our position, so I think that if they see that, who we're dealing with, the post office, I don't want to just say they, but the post office leadership will look at that and say, yes, let's get through a positive pay consultation and get to a resolve. I think looking where we've been, we don't really want to go there again. And I think if both parties understand that, is it going to benefit to go back through the same process we went through in FY16 to 19? I don't think there would be a benefit for us to have this controversy. Hopefully we can get to a resolve with a good and fair pay package.
And simultaneously, there is HR 1623 that was introduced by Congressman Jerry Conley and Congressman Michael Bost, right, which would alter the pay consultative process to make a fact-finding decision binding at the end of the day, and also to accelerate the commencement of the consultative process in the future. And that has to sort of weigh on the mind of Postal Service also.
Well, that's a very positive bill for us, HR 1623, the Supervisors Managers Fairness Act. And we believe we need something to be able to have a resolve if we can't get a resolution with the post office during regular pay consultations. Right now, the post office would give us fair and full consideration, and then that's it. Fact-finding, but fact-finding is just, it's not, it's an advisory of the panel. It's not binding. So we want to make sure that we have something solid that during consultations, we know that let's do it right the first time. And if we have to go to fact-finding and this law changes, hopefully it will be a benefit for all. And we have some resolve of what's the word I'm looking for. You know, at the end of the day, a third party will decide what would be fair and reasonable for both parties.
Let me shift gears slightly and talk about an issue that came up a couple of weeks ago, and that was the Postal Service announced the resurrection of 2015 plant consolidations. That is they proposed a consolidating of 18 mail processing plants and linking it with the potential acquisition of 45 new annex facilities dedicated to boosting package capacity and acquiring 138 package sorting machines. Do you have any reaction to this initiative and how it would impact NAPS members?
Well, right now, we have to see how it's going to play out. We know that with this current reduction in force going on, the post office realizing they don't need as many EAS employees. With the package business, the post office is pushing for more package business. That should be a positive in bringing in more people. However, just not sure how it's all going to play out yet until they implement it. Our concern is we don't want service to deteriorate with these changes. We want to keep the same level of service our customers deserve and expect.
We're going to be talking more about service standards and the implementation of these consolidations within the context of the Postal Regulatory Commission on a future NAPS chat. But I think is of concern is that how this it's like a game of musical chairs, and you don't want anyone left standing at the end. And I know that you and the resident officers are working to make sure, as the chairs keep changing, that everyone gets a seat.
Right. During this reduction in force, our goal is to make sure anyone who wants a EAS position will have an EAS position to go to. Now, again, maybe something in a different functional area than they're used to, they may be minimally qualified for. But we also want to make sure, and we have brought this up to the post office, when people get these jobs, you give them the training and the resources and the coaching and mentoring necessary to be successful. You know, just don't throw them into a job and say, you know, sink or swim. That's not fair to the individual. It's not fair to the Postal Service. And it's not fair to the customers if it impacts the service. But we are committed to make sure everyone has a chair or a job during this reduction in force, this restructuring by the post office.
The resident officers recently had major discussions over the 2021 convention to take place in Grapevine, Texas. For those of us who don't know where Grapevine is, it's right north of Dallas. Could you talk a little bit about the upcoming NAPS convention?
Bob, thank you very much. I will tell you that the executive board voted in May of 20 that we would reschedule the convention because of the COVID pandemic to August of 2021. The resident officers, along with our conference planner, Sherry Davies, went to the Gaylord Texan this past April to do the final coordination of rooms and staging. And I will tell you, it's a beautiful venue. It's huge, plenty of room. We are taking every precaution along with the Gaylord Texan on social distancing, plenty of hand sanitizers, the way the food is being prepared and served. The idea is to make sure everybody feels comfortable coming in. The Marriott, the Gaylord Texan is a Marriott, has plenty of signage. They have extensive cleaning. You will see this information in upcoming Postal Supervisors magazines on COVID protocols and what we're doing. The venue is just beautiful. We're anticipating a fun night on Sunday night on August 29th for the host branch reception from 8 to 10. Besides our opening ceremony on Monday, we do have Monday night the Glass Cactus delegates reception with music and food. And then there is going to be a special SPAC reception for those who donated to SPAC and met the criteria of the $750 and higher that we would have normally done a SPAC reception at LTS if it had been in person for those on Tuesday night. And, of course, our free day on Wednesday, looking at some tours to be able to be in the magazine and on the website. And then, of course, our election and the grand banquet on Friday night with music. So a lot of preparation, but I can tell you the host branch has been busy getting things ready, and we have been getting ready here, so we encourage people to come. We are doing our due diligence to make sure everybody is safe and that we've done our process for COVID protocols for social distancing, hand sanitizers. We're going to provide masks if you don't have any, but we're doing our part to make sure everyone will have an enjoyable time, but also feel comfortable being there.
Brian, final question. You know what that question is.
You know, I know what that question is. It's going to be the flavor of the day. And I just happened to go down to Ben and Jerry's down on King Street the other day and got their tiramisu. So tiramisu from Ben and Jerry's is my flavor of the day.
Brian, I want to thank you for joining me on this episode of Naps Chat.
Thank you, Bob. I really appreciate being back on. And I really encourage the members to watch the Naps website. Look for messaging from your executive board on everything that's coming up with regard to the RIF, the pay package, anything with the national convention. We're here to make sure that you're well informed of what's happening at NAPS.
Brian, I want to thank you for you joining me today, and I want to thank NAPS Chat listeners for logging on this week. If you enjoy NAPS Chat, please leave us a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more importantly, share NAPS Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and healthy.
I'm going to stand right down and write myself a letter and make believe.